Nichols Way Church, there's no other place I'd rather be today except right here with you guys. This week I've been listening to this worship set and a lot of songs about trust. And in Psalm 46 it says, God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. It says, let the oceans roar and foam, let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. Later on in that same chapter, it says, be still and know that I am God. It's so good to be able to praise Him and trust Him and not just believe in Him, but believe Him. And so I encourage you to enter into worship and just to enter into His presence and just to praise His name. To trust Him. Amen.
Lead me to the cross. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand.
I love to hear your voice, Liz. Lift it up.
And you are mine.
that we can call upon your name, and that we keep our eyes above the waves, Lord. We keep them fixed on you. We keep them fixed on your face. And we trust in you. We say it is well with our souls, Lord.
Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Yes, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. Oh, we sing. Through it all, my eyes are on you.
Fix it on him this morning.
Through it all, it is well. It is Lord, and through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. So let go. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We thank you, Father, Lord, that you lead us places where your trust is without borders, Lord. But we know that when we keep our eyes fixed on you, it means keeping our minds fixed on him. And whose minds are fixed on him is kept in perfect peace. And we have perfect peace, Lord, because we fix our eyes on you. We trust in you. And because of our ability to trust in you, it is well. It is well, it is well with our souls. We love you, we worship you, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. As our ushers are coming this morning, prepare to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. In your bulletin, there's some information. Ushers can go ahead and pass those out. There's some information about the Doc Holliday Festival again. I want you to be aware of that. Know that Eagles Way is a partner in pulling that event off, and we need your help in some areas. There's three different bullet points on that backside. The youth are doing some raffle tickets. The ladies are doing some things, and there's some concession sales. So there's sign-up sheets at the information booth. So if you would like to get involved and help out that weekend, it is the 26th and 27th of September. There are also raffle tickets for a smoker that Donnie has been commissioned to be entrusted with, and he is getting as many people to either to sell or to purchase as possible. So if you will see Donnie, if you're willing to maybe take 10 of those and sell those to people at your workplace or wherever you may go. So it's going to be a tremendous event, a way that we can give back to our community, a way that we can help raise some funds for some nonprofits in our community. The Rushton Hope, several of those that are involved with the Spalding Collaborative already. So I'm excited about that. Let's pray. Let's bless this offering. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come and we can worship you, that we can sing, that we can give you praise, that, Lord, we can bring our first fruits, our tithes and our offerings and our alms to you. But we ask, Lord, that you take that and you'll multiply that, Lord, for the work of your kingdom, that people's lives will be touched and changed and turn towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, good morning. How's everybody? Good to see you. I was wondering where you was going to be earlier today. Y'all slow trickling in. I'm going to set up this series by talking just a few moments about it before we get into the Word. But a couple of months ago, the Lord just dropped in my spirit that the next series would be about the body of Christ. And we spent all summer talking about Jesus' stories. And we talked about a lot of the things that Christ did, the different healings, and just stories about Jesus. And we ended last week in St. John chapter 1. And we talked about how Mary Magdalene and Peter and John got to the tomb. And when they got to the tomb, the stone had been rolled away, and they was intrigued by that. And so Peter runs in. When he runs in, says very explicitly this. He found the head napkin folded and lying in place. But his robe was just lying separate. And I believe spiritually what that depicts is that the head napkin was folded and laid aside very neatly, because the head was done. Jesus had done his part. The head of the body had done everything that he needed to do. And now there's a body that needs to fill that robe. And the Bible says that he is sitting now at next to the right hand of his Father, waiting until his enemies become his footstool. And so we have, you know, I have a lot of people who pray for me, and I appreciate that, but I tell you what, I'm glad that Jesus is praying for me. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercessions for us. When I was talking to Brian about the graphic, he did exactly what I was kind of saw in my mind. I said, you know, the body of Christ, I want it to be more than just external. You know, Paul talked about the hand and the and the ear and the nose, and the, you know, we can see those things, but how many know there's some parts of the body that's more important than your finger? There's some parts of your body. You know, I could live without this little pinky, but I can't live without a pancreas. There are things that are more honorable than what I can see. And I just want you to know that in the body of Christ, there's a lot of parts of the body that we may not see it function, we may not see what they're doing, but believe me, they're very, very important. And what I hope you see during this series is that how important you are to the body of Christ. That you need the body and the body needs you. That we need each other. And that's why the New Testament is filled with one another's all through the Bible. Love one another. Submit to one another. Pray for one another. Forgive one another. Tolerate one another. Put up with one another. One another, one another, one another. Because that's what it's all about. Love one another. And so as we go through this series, I want you to see that. And the other day, Brian and I, this is our 50-year celebration all year. We've been celebrating 50 years of Eagles Way Church, and we are doing some history, and in the directory that's coming out in October that you'll be getting, there'll be a few pages of just the history of Eagles Way Church. And so Brian and I went and took some pictures the other day, and we went to a place on Chapel Street, and there's a little white building there, and that's where Eagles Way began. And in that little white building, there's a little church called Mount Rhema. And I just, as I was looking at that, I just had just welled up a lot of memories and feelings. And when I was a little boy and attending there, and I'm just glad that there's a church there. Well, I remember when we first sold that to them, we financed it for them, and they paid us for a few years. But soon after that, we decided just give that property to them. The Lord spoke to me one day in the service and said, "What are you doing taking money from those people? Give it to them." And so we just gave the building to them. Then we moved to High Falls Road, and we pulled up in the parking lot on High Falls Road, and I really had a lot of emotions because that's where I went to college. That was my school. That was where I spent about 10, 12 years of just really learning who God is and learning about Him. And now we ended up on this property. And I just tell you, I love the body of Christ. I love the church. I think the church is the hope of the world. I really do. Now, you can say Christ is the hope of the world, and He is, but His body is Him. The church is the hope of the world. And I love all churches. I love Baptists. I love Methodists. I love Catholics. I love Presbyterians. I love Episcopalians. I love it because they're the body of Christ. They're the body of Christ. And so you'll never hear me criticize another ministry because that's not what it's all about. All of us are the body of Christ. I wish we'd learn that. If there's one truth I wish the church would learn, we're all members of one another. You may call yourself this or that, but what you are, you're the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? You know, that's what the word brother literally means. We came from the same womb. We're all birthed the same way. We're born a natural man, but we're also born again a spiritual person. And that second birth is really what it's all about. All right, okay. I'm enjoying this. I think y'all are getting it. So let's talk about church. You want to talk about church? You know, here's a thought. And I don't have statistics. Statistically, I can't back this up. But I think I have enough history and years of ministry to know pretty much what the church has done and what the church is doing. But if the church, and it has, when I look around the world and I see what the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has done in the world, how it's impacted the world, the churches that are built, the cathedrals, that all the ministry in the world, and it's been done by probably about 30 or 40% of the body of Christ doing its part. I'm pretty sure I'm right on. It's really been done by about probably 30 or 40% of the body of Christ doing its part. What would happen if we increased that to about 75% over the next 10 years? What would the earth look like? What would the world look like if the body of Christ woke up and said, "Whoa, look at me. I'm part of this body. I'm a vital function to this body. I have a measure of the Spirit. I have a measure of grace. I have a measure of faith. I have a gift, and I'm to bring that to the body of Christ. And what if all of us tithe? What if all of us gave? What if all of us used our gifts? What if all of us gave our part? Wow, what would it look like if 100% of the body of Christ did its part? Isn't that a wonderful thought? Wow, it'd be awesome. And so I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And I believe there's 16 verses here that I believe is probably one of the most critical 16 verses in the Bible. See, I believe in all scriptures given by inspiration of God, but I don't believe that all scriptures equal. I believe some scriptures are a little more important than some other scriptures, don't you? I believe John 3:16 has a lot more weight and says a whole lot more to me than some other scriptures say to me. Well, John gets on a roll here in Ephesians chapter 4, and let me show you how Paul wrote to the churches. In Ephesians and in Romans and Colossians, he would take the first half of the letter and he would talk about doctrine. He would talk about what you need to believe. And then he would spend the latter half of the letter saying, now that you believe this way, now you need to behave this way. You believe it. See, you got to believe it before you can behave it. So I got to believe it's true, and I got to believe it's good for me before I can act it out. Are you with me? See, if I don't believe it, I won't act it out. I've got to believe it first, and then if I believe it, then it'll change my behavior. But, you know, I got to change the way I think. Right? So in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, now that you know that you're seated with him in heavenly places, now that you know that before the foundations of the world, he chose you. Now that you know that by grace you're saved and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of work, lest any man should boast, but we are his workmanship, created unto good works that God hath before ordained that we walk in them. Now that you know you're seated with him in heavenly places, walk. I therefore, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Wow. You know, I like one translation better than this one in the beginning. Another translation says, I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord. You see, Paul believed that everything that happened in his life was not accidental, coincidental, that his whole being was governed by God. He didn't see himself as a prisoner of Rome. He saw himself as a prisoner of the Lord. Wow. He says, now, this is how you need to behave. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Okay, here's one that we all gonna have a hard time with. Make allowance for each other's faults. There's a lot of scripture I can handle. I don't know about you. I have a hard time with that one. What's this saying is allow people to have faults. Allow others to hurt you. Allow your wife to be right. Let me preach this. Allow your wife to be right. That was good. Allow your husband to be right. Allow your husband to fail. And when they do, don't hold it against them. Okay, dokie. You see, let me tell you what forgiveness is. So just got to remind, forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not remembering. Forgiveness is God saying, I will take your sins and I'll cast them into the depths of the sea and I'll remember them no more. I won't bring them up anymore. You think God's forgotten my sins? No. He can't forget. But he chooses not to go and bring them back up. He chooses not to remember them, put them back together. I was talking to someone years ago, and I said, my gosh, you amaze me. You remember every bad thing that's ever happened to you in your lifetime. You remember everything that bad ever took place. Why can't we remember the good things? That's what we need to remember, are the good things. And so if we're going to really be the body of Christ, we're really going to do what God called us to do, we've got to walk in allowance with one another. We've got to give each other. It's okay. If you fail, get up. Just get back up. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Let me tell you, it's much easier to keep peace than make peace. A lot easier to maintain peace than it is to make peace. I know what it is to be in peace, and I know what it is to be not in peace. I know what it is for my wife to be at peace with me, and I know what it is for her not to be at peace with me. And I tell you what, to making the peace is a whole lot more hard and difficult than keeping the peace. So I've learned after 40 years of marriage how to keep the peace. The biggest way I do that is just to keep my mouth shut. Just quieter I am, the better things are. It's just the way it works. Some of you getting it over here. I just felt that over here. Somebody just, wow, I needed that this morning. Thank you. You're welcome. Binding yourselves, for there is one body, one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, who is over all, in all, and living through. And the Greek word for all is? So next time you want to criticize one of those who are in the all, remember that God is in them all. All is all. And he begins by saying, you know, if you're going to be the body, you know, I don't ever fuss at this body. I don't think I've cursed. Bible says no man's really ever cursed his own body. That's what the Bible said. So what about people who commit suicide? They commit suicide because they love themselves so much and they can't stand what they're going through. You got to, that's the reason for that. It's not that they hate it, because they love it so much and they're going through something that's beyond anything that they can handle. I believe that. It's not good. But the fact is, I don't say heart pump, or man, I wish you would do better. You know, I love this body. The Bible says you love it and you cherish it. When you need to love and to cherish the body of Christ, because every part, every member is so vitally important. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended into the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to people. Before we get into these gifts, what he did, there was a place called paradise, and that's where all the departed saints of old went. And he went, before he ascended into heaven, he descended into hell. And he took all of them with him. He said, come on, you're not going to be bound here any longer. And he led them into the portals of glory. But then he said, but he gave gifts to men. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. The same one who descended is the one who has ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Wow. Wow. I quote this scripture a lot of times. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. But the universe is the Lord's. Mars is the Lord's. Saturn is the Lord's. The whole universe is the Lord's. And the Bible says it's held together by his word. That is power. He said, now these are the gifts that Christ gave. He gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, build up the church, the body of Christ. I want you to look at me for a moment. I'll give you something to help you remember. Okay? This I'm going to give you two ways. First way I was taught years ago, I was taught it like this. Fivefold ministry. Just hold your hand up like this. Right hand, left hand, doesn't matter, whichever one you want to do. And you touch your thumb, and this is the apostle. Apostles govern. We'll change that in a minute, but this is how I was taught it. Apostles govern. Prophets, that's your pointing finger, guides. Pastors, evangelists, gather. That's the longest finger that reaches out the furthest. Evangelists gather. Pastors guard. It's where you wear your ring. That's because the pastor is married to the church. And your little pinky is teachers. They ground. That's pretty neat thing, but I realized something not long after this was happening, because it was back 25, 30 years ago when the church was coming to realize that maybe they are still apostles and prophets. And so the church began to learn some new things and said, "No, we're going to take on apostles and prophets now, as well as evangelists, pastors, and teachers." And so, but what happened was the prophets and the apostles got fussing. Remember? They got to fussing, and what was supposed to unify the church began to divide the church, because everybody. I don't want to be a pastor no more. I want to be a prophet. I don't want to be a prophet. I want to be an apostle, because, you know, I went up the ladder. I started off as a teacher, and then I became a pastor, and then I became a great visionary and missionary, but then I became a prophet. Oh, I like prophets, because they just seem like they get more stuff, you know, they get more glory and honor. So, and then the apostles came along, and the prophet said, "Oh, no, I want to be an apostle." And so there's this, all this disorder. And so I was in a meeting. And it's actually right in here. And we had tables set up, and there was about 50 pastors here. And I said, I'd like to say something. And if you know me, I don't do that, do I? I'm not going to stand up and say, I got something to say. But I had something to say, and I had to say it. And so I got the floor, and I said, I know how it's been taught, but I said, I'd like for us to look at it maybe like this. Apostles establish. Let's get this governing thing out of the way and stop beating people up. Apostles establish. Prophets edify. Evangelists evangelize. Pastors, I'll get back to it in a minute. Teachers enlighten. Pastors, something with E. It's in my notes. Equip. Equip. And I think it kind of brings a little more unity, because that's what he said. The reason you have the fivefold ministry is because to equip the church. Now let me tell you what that word equip means. The word equip means it's the same word as mending. I don't believe that Jesus, when he went by the seashore and when he saw the disciples, Peter and them mending their nets. When he saw them mending their nets, I believe something went off in Christ and said, "Now those are smart guys. They know that their nets need to be mended if they're going to catch fish. They know that them nets have got to be right if they're going to cast it into the sea." Let me tell you how you can tell a good fisherman. He takes care of his stuff. He takes care of it. Takes care of his rod and reels. If he's a good fisherman. If you're a good fisherman, you take care of your life. And what we're here doing this morning is mending our nets. I'm mending my net as I'm talking to you, and I hope I'm mending your net. I know I've mended this net a lot over the years. I mean, every Sunday I'm mending this net right here, because it keeps getting holes in it. And I can't, no, let's mend that up. and I know I've mended this net some, and I've mended this net. How many nets have I mended? Come on, has the Word of God mended over the years? Some of you got mended this morning already. You got a big old hole in your net, and you know you already got mended because you know how you've been thinking, how you've been talking, what you've been saying. I mended. See, you don't want to be in it 2 weeks. Your net's being mended. See, it's what it's all about. But don't think that we're up here just mending your net. No, I'm having to mend this net. So next time you see, you know, Barbara can look at me sometimes and go, whoa, there's a big old hole in that net. Let's mend that net. Let's get our, why do we want our nets mended? To do His work, to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to unity. Such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Wow. You see, a scripture in Psalms 133 says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil upon Aaron's head. It flowed down over all of his garments. It's like the dew of Mount Hermon. It flows down and it touches on the mountains of Zion. Then he says this, there the Lord commanded his blessing, life forevermore. Few places God said, there I command my blessing in unity. Bible says, six things God hates, seven's an abomination to them. And the last one was he who sows discord among his brethren. He said, I hate that. Because disunity, it can't be blessing. God can't bless disunity. He can only bless unity. You know that Peter said that a husband and their wife need to be right together because if they're not, it hinders their prayers? That my life is hindered, my prayer life is hindered, productivity is hindered when Barbara and I are not unified. In the same way in the church, when the church is not unified, it hinders the blessing of God that He wants to bless you with. Isn't that good stuff? And so He says, He gave all these apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to mend our nets so we can be cast out into the sea of life and we can gather in other fish. Yeah. And the thing to remember is when we gather in the fish, He says, you gather them in the end. I'll decide who I throw back. That's it. We're not supposed to catch them and clean them and eat them. Now you do that in the natural and it's wonderful, but you don't do that with people. You just catch them. He cleans them. I'm glad I learned a long time ago, stop cleaning people fish. Ooh, I don't even like cleaning other fish, especially people fish. Stop trying to clean up everybody else's life. Clean up your life. Right? You know, I've taught this before. I believe the reason He said that how we clean up and mend our nets. See, preaching and teaching is, how to say it, to me it's non-offensive. Well, it should be. I know it's not everywhere. It should be non-offensive. But see, we're all sitting here, and because of the preaching and teaching of the Word, then we can be corrected without somebody walking up to you and say, hey, dude. Hey, dude. Let me tell you, people don't handle, hey, dude, very well. They don't. I don't handle you correcting me very well. I really don't, I know. I should, but I don't. And you don't either. You don't either. Somebody, well, let me tell you what's wrong with you. Oh, boy, I just go, tell me, please. I've been waiting on this all day long. Thank you. Where have you been all my life? I didn't win Barbara over by telling her all the bad stuff about. I guarantee you, we wouldn't have lasted very long. I almost lost her in the very first date. I told her, there may be some marijuana here. I'm not sure, but there may be at this party. And if there is, are you okay with that? She said, well, I've never been around it before, but I'll be okay. And as soon as I pull up in the driveway, they come out and say, Buren, did you bring it? So, that's back in the old days. And she said, there might be some here. Yeah. Let me tell you how I won her. You are so beautiful. You're the prettiest woman I ever dated. And there ain't many. Well, that wasn't right. That was. Wait a minute. Let me back up. You're the prettiest woman I've ever seen. That's what I meant to say. And you're gorgeous. And that's how I won her over. And I did it so well that she thought I did everything perfect. I told you this before. She told me one time, she won't remember this. I know she says I don't remember this, but she did. She's sitting over here and she says, I just love the way you drive a car. She says, you are so cool the way you drive a car. And then I'm in Atlanta a few months ago, and Barbara and Dusty are just railing at me about how I'm driving the car. So I told them both, I'm about to stop and put you both out. It's amazing, but I still drive it cool. He says, there will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. Will not be influenced when people try to trick us and with lies so clever they sound like truth. Instead, we'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing in love. We just can't say it too much, can we, church? Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. For in this God proved his love toward us, and he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. Because he has loved us, he says we ought to love one another. And that's why he stood up at that Passover. At that last Passover with those disciples. He stood up and he backed away from the table. And he looked at the bitter herbs that they were eating. He looked at the things that were called the Passover. It would remind every Israelite of the bad stuff that had gone on in their life. Every time they ate a bitter herb, they would remember the bitterness of Pharaoh. They would remember his whip. They would remember his task mastering over them. They would remember making bricks without mortar. They would remember all the bad things. But Jesus steps away from it clearly in Scripture, and he looks back into it and he says, there's a new covenant. There's a new Passover. And so he steps over to the table and he reaches in, he takes some bread, and he reaches over and he takes some wine, and he takes it out, and he backs away from the bitter herbs, and he takes just the bread and the wine, and he says, behold, a new covenant I'm going to make with you. This new covenant is called the body of Christ. And this body is broken for you. And as I have loved you, I want you to love one another. This is my new commandment. I want you to love one another. I want you to love one another. This blood, it's a new It's a new covenant. It's a blood that when you take of this blood and this covenant, you're forgiven. And when you're forgiven, you don't remember it anymore and you don't bring it up anymore. You don't talk about it anymore because you're forgiven. And I want you, as often as you do this, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, often as you take this body and you drink this blood, remember the Lord's body. Remember, He forgave you. Remember, He took away the bitterness of your life. Remember that He don't want you remembering anymore the bad things that happened to you. He just wants you to remember the good things that's happened to you. And that's what He wants me to do every day of my life. I've been blessed over my life tremendously. And I'll be honest, I don't have a lot of bad memories. I don't have a lot of bad memories as a child. Had a good daddy, good mama. Still got a good mama. Still got a good daddy. I don't have a lot of bad memories, but I know a lot of people do. But the ones that I do have, I choose not to remember them. And sometimes I'm going down the road in my car, or I may be other places. I remember, and I bring up something bad that happened to me when I was 40 years old. And I start dwelling on that, I get down. I begin to beat myself up, and I realize that's not who I am. And I have to replace that thought. And so I've got to choose. You've got to choose. I'm not perfect. But Barbara's got to just remember the good things in me. If she'll just remember the good, because I got a bunch of them too. If she'll just remember those things. If I can just remember the good things in her. Because I know what it's like to criticize her, and I know what it's like to build her up. And criticizing brings discomfort, and it brings disruption. And it brings, it doesn't do too good. You've got to choose, church, with every relationship in your life, to remember the good stuff. You've got to choose to do that, because the enemy will try to get you to remember the bad stuff. And you can't remember the bad stuff and have peace. You can't remember the bad stuff and have all that God wants you to have. You got to remember the good stuff. Good stuff. And so when I have that thought, I just in my mind say, I'm part of the body of Christ. I've drank this many, many times. And I'm as justified, and I'm as holy, and I'm as sanctified as you can get. And you are too. You are too. And when you can walk out of here knowing that, you can cast your net, bring in some fish. See, I like to tell people in the natural, they say, "You going fishing?" I said, "No, I don't go fishing. I go catch fish." Fishing for people who don't really, not that interested in it, don't know what they're doing. I want to catch fish. I want to snag a few souls along the way. How about you? You want to snag a few souls? Man, as much as I love catching, I love deep sea fishing. You know what I love about deep sea fishing? You never know what you're going to bring up. Man, I'll bring up anything. Man, I brought up some weird looking stuff. Brought up an octopus one time. I'm going to keep that octopus and have me some octopus later on. We put him in the box, and he crawled. I fish barefooted on the boat, and I'm standing there, and this octopus is wrapping around my feet, and I'm finally throwing back in. Finally got mad at him. I just threw him back in the water. Spiritually, that's what we do sometimes too. All right, elders are coming. Let's stand together. As they're coming to prepare for communion, I want you to just bow your head for a moment, and I want you to make this commitment to God. I'm going to choose today to remember the good stuff. That's what I'm going to choose to do. Because, you know, you look at me now. I'm going to use my buddy here, Mike. You know, Mike lost his wife just a few months ago. I guarantee you, he don't remember the bad stuff. All he remembers is the good stuff. We don't need to wait until someone's gone that we can only remember the good stuff. Because I guarantee you, I have a lot of conversations with him, and all we talk about is Sweet Anna. We just remember the good stuff. Man, we don't need to wait to bring the flowers then. Let's bring them now. Amen? Let's bring them now. So I just beg you, please this morning, choose as you take this cup and you take this juice and you go back to your seat and you hold it. As we take it together in a moment, choose to do what Jesus did. Leave the bitterness and the herbs behind and just drink his blood and take part of his body. Amen. God bless you.